We're unabashedly obsessed. We've got to get it off our chest. Please sit there and be quiet.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Unabashedly Obsessed. I am James.
I'm Erin.
On our show, we like to talk about things related to pop culture.
And not so pop culture.
And today, we are talking about pop and lock culture.
How long have you had that one prepared?
About 5 seconds.
You guys can't see him dancing, but he's dancing. He is neither popping nor locking.
Nope.
He's like drunk white girl dancing.
Yeah, I'm like, I just won the lottery. But like,
no, it's more like I'm wearing elastic waist pants and I just won the Price is Right dancing.
Yeah, the lottery. That's what call the lottery.
That's what you call? Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's time for Plinko dance.
Oh, good. Okay. It's a good dance.
I feel like if it wasn't Plinko, I'd be like, I'm uninterested in what game it is because I don't know anything about pricing.
Price is Right is the one that used to be Bob Barker and now it's Drew Carey, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. At least I have the right.
Yeah, you're doing great.
At least
you're
I have the great. Right game in my head.
No, we are talking about Magic Mike XXL or Magic Mike 2 if you want.
I think
Magic Mike 2XL. That would make sense.
That's probably what it's supposed to be. We had like a 5-minute conversation before we started recording about how that is supposed to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it's Magic Mike. Why wouldn't they just make it 2XL though?
Because it's supposed to remind you of penises, like big penises. Like really big, like very large penises.
X's more reminiscent of penises than numerals are?
I mean, twos. Twos are all curvy and weird and hooky and pointy.
That is true. But X's, I haven't come into contact with a ton of penises in my life, but enough to know that most of them are not shaped like X's any more than they're shaped like twos.
Well, if you have two of them together, like a sword fight.
That is true.
You could make an X, an X, and an L out of two penises.
You could.
Well,
not all at the same time, unless your penises are busted.
It would have to be like
an X.
Like X, and then, all right, everyone stop. And then everyone, okay, X again. And then everyone stop. And then L would be sort of like a different maneuver sort of situation.
It would be a different maneuver sort of situation.
It would be better if the camera was looking down.
True.
That would be easier.
True.
Way easier. In fact, almost, it would be impossible if the camera was looking head on, so to speak.
No.
An L?
I mean, somebody would have to hold one upright.
Yeah, you'd have to have some sort of string.
I was just thinking hands, but sure, let's bring props in.
Okay.
Anyway, we're talking about this movie.
Yes, this movie was recommended to us by several people. Mm-hmm.
I thought you just got it in your head that you wanted to watch Magic Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the story. So I follow Kate Leth on Twitter.
Sure.
And she did like a multi-tweet thread about how Magic Mike XXL is, or Magic Mike 2XL, or whatever you want to say.
Magic Mike 2.
Magic Mike 2 was this excellent movie about like friendship and supporting each other and like getting over toxic masculinity and all this stuff.
Sure.
And I was like, wait, what? Magic Mike XXL? And then she was like, the first one was this one is excellent.
Okay.
She didn't say XXLN like she did.
Oh.
But I'm not writing everyone's tweets. So in some way or fashion, it came up again when I was talking to Liz AF.
Hi, Liz AF.
Hi, Liz AF. And then in some way or fashion, her husband, Jeremy, got into the conversation and said that it was one of his favorite movies. And I was like, well, that seals it.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, what is this movie? So that was when I had it from the library after Kate's thing. And then I was like, well, I have this when we were talking to Liz and Jeremy.
Right.
Or when Liz and Jeremy were talking and you and I were also talking. Must have been on Liz's. It must have been on a Liz post in some way.
Okay.
That you were talking. Because I was like, Erin, do you want to do an episode about this? And you're like, yeah, let's do an episode about this. And then later Jeremy was like, this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Interesting.
So
I don't think I saw Jeremy's comment.
That only sealed it for me.
Huh.
So can I read you my first three notes?
Yes, please do.
The movie starts with news that Matthew McConaughey is dead. Erin will be so stoked. That was the first one. Second note.
I forgot the name of Matthew McConaughey's character, so I was like, so some dude named Dallas. Cool, cool, cool. Don't know who that is.
Here was watching it.
You've seen the first one, right?
No.
Okay. Here's, that, I didn't think you had.
But Kristen has.
Okay.
So Kristen and I were watching it while the kids were at VBS because we use our time wholesomely.
Send your kids to Bible school. Watch some male strippers.
This is the second Bible VBS they've gone to this summer. But it was because their super cool teacher was teaching it at her church.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anyways, so it was literally like, Dallas is dead. And the camera looks at me and I slowly turn my head to Kristen. She says, Matthew McConaughey. I was like, got it.
Now, I do feel the need to correct you. It didn't say Dallas is dead. It said he's gone. He's left us. It implied that he was dead. But I don't think that the word dead was used.
Okay. Fair.
Because watching that, I was like, okay, so whoever this Dallas guy is has like up and left.
Right.
And they're just trying to suck Mike back into the game by being super vague.
Right.
And I was right.
Which takes us to our second note. Oh, he's not. He's just gone. Aaron will still be happy.
Yes. What actually happened, I had to look it up, and Matthew McConaughey won an Oscar.
For Dallas Buyers Club, right?
Yeah, I think so. And so his...
Which is so weird if his character's name was Dallas in this.
Yeah. But his salary skyrocketed.
Mm.
And so the producers were like, eh, we don't need him.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely true. They did not need him.
We should come back to... Now, you saw Magic Mike.
I did. OG. I saw it in the theaters
yeah.
with a bunch of the divas.
Yeah. Kristen has, I think, seen... It turns out that Kristen has seen both of these in the theaters with her friends.
Oh.
She forgot that she'd seen this.
Oh.
So she's like, I've seen this. If the truck gets wrecked, I've seen this. Truck gets wrecked. I was like, okay.
So she's seen this.
Yeah. My third one was Backstreet Boys, the only legitimate boy band. Did Aaron write this movie?
One of my notes is Reggie's love of BSB is great.
Yeah.
And so I think the only reason they had that line in at the beginning was
Reggie.
Wasn't that Richie?
Richie.
Right. Joe Manganiello.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know any of their character names. I actually had to look them up for our project earlier today.
When you said Twitch, I was like, what is this? And then I looked him up and I was like, so you think it's got
Yeah. Yeah. I got very excited. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think because, so I had seen the scene where.
He dances.
Where Richie dances to Backstreet Boys.
I had seen
in
that
gas
as well.
Station.
I had seen that as well.
So I heard him arguing that Backstreet Boys are the only legitimate boy band. And I was like, okay, so this is just a thing for him.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, he goes in and that's the song that's playing. And he's like, well, I guess I've just got to make it work to this song.
Yeah. It's more like it's karma. That this song is on.
I want to skip way ahead to the end for just a second and say how disappointed I am that he did not do his final number to a Backstreet Boys song.
That's true. Is there a good getting married?
No.
Backstreet Boys song? Yeah.
I mean, like all of them?
Yeah. But like more than Marry You by Bruno Mars?
There are no songs by the Backstreet Boys that are specifically... tailored to a male striptease about getting married.
Yeah.
In the way that Marry You and I want to fuck you like an animal. Is that the name of the song?
That's Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Closer is the name of it. Okay, so those are the two songs that he ended up using.
I forgot about that.
Oh, see, I forgot about the part where I forgot about Marry You.
I did too until we were talking about it just now.
Okay. I only remembered the girl being in that sex swing for like...
Way too long.
Just forever.
Let her out.
Their bit is done and she's just up there with her heels up on the thing. And I'm like, girlfriend, you can put your legs down.
I want to ask a question.
Uh-huh.
And I want an answer, but I want it to be a generalized... Let's have it be a guess.
Okay.
Are those things comfortable?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never tried one, so...
Like if you're on stage at a concert,
uh-huh,
but you have to be like in gallows or something weird, like
right.
You're at a guar show,
Sure. Okay.
And you have to have your head in a fake guillotine or whatever. And it's uncomfortable. Then it's sort of like, I wish I was just sort of in the crowd. But if it's like you have to watch the show from the stage on a big comfy couch, then it's like, yeah, I can chill here on this couch. So it really depends on if a sex swing is more like a guillotine or a big comfy couch.
I feel like the sex swing would be more comfortable than the stool that Tarzan's chick had to sit on for the rest of the show.
Okay, fair.
But less comfortable than the big comfy couch. But those girls spent the rest of the show covered in whipped cream, which had to have started to smell bad by the end under the lights.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time that scene was happening, I was like, there is nothing sexy about this. This is going to smell so bad in 10 minutes.
Tito was one of my favorite dancers until his final dance, in which I was like, who wants that? No one could want that.
No one wants that.
I don't like playing pie in the face.
Yeah.
I refuse
to buy that game because I do not want whipped cream all over my face.
There's no way I want to be sprayed in the face with whipped cream in front of a gigantic crowd of strangers.
On a stage under hot lights.
Yeah.
Because you know what goes rancid in the heat? Milk products.
Yeah. Well, it could have been a dairy-free whipped cream. That would have been considerate.
Probably still would have smelled bad. I'd be okay with it if it was shaving cream that somehow got put into an era. Well, it wouldn't go sticky and smelly.
Fair.
It would just be like soapy and gross.
Yeah.
It might still get sticky, but it wouldn't smell like rancid milk.
There's a Simpsons episode where Homer invents a makeup shotgun.
Okay.
And Lisa says, women don't want to be shot in the face, Dad. And Homer says, women will like what I tell them to like.
Oh, God.
Which is what I thought of during that dance. I was like, no. Are these girls like, woo, whip, blah. Which, I mean, like, I understand what, like, the connotation of the stuff was. The question still stands.
Would you want to be shot in the face?
Right. But his whole thing was not my favorite thing of all time. And also, he tied his hair back, and I didn't like the look at all either.
Same.
So, okay.
Okay. I have a couple notes. I got very excited when I was like, this is a road trip movie.
Yeah.
And then it kind of wasn't really a road trip movie in the way that I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I saw the first one.
Okay.
And I went into the first one thinking this is going to be a dumb movie with no plot, but we get to see a bunch of dudes dance with, like, no shirts on.
Right.
I'm here for it. And then we get into the movie and I'm like, oh, no, there's a plot.
Yeah.
Like, an actual plot with, like, one dude I think was a drug addict or was, like, in debt because he had been selling drugs. Like, there's a character who's not in this one who there was some plot with drugs. I can't remember if he was a drug addict or if he was selling drugs, but like his drugs got stolen, so he didn't have the money to pay the guy that he had gotten the drugs from. I don't remember.
Right. Okay.
There was this whole thing with drugs and Mike had to bail him out.
Okay.
And it's like this, I remembered that character being dead at the end of the movie, but according to a Google search, he was not dead. The actor just didn't come back because he and Channing Tatum didn't like each other.
So that was the kid?
Yes.
Okay. The kid that went with Matthew McConaughey to Europe.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I
got it. I didn't note.
Kristen noted that and, okay. and had the same
okay.
mind as you, as like had seen the previous movie.
Yeah.
I had thought for some reason that there was some sort of child involved.
Yeah.
Because of the kid. And so I was picturing like a...
No, he was like young. He was like 19 or something.
Yeah.
But his sister is the girl, was the love interest in that movie that Mike had proposed to. Oh, this is going to be just full of spoilers for Magic Mike XXL.
Yeah.
That Mike had proposed to and gotten turned down.
Right.
The romance in the first one struck me as being not forced or superfluous or anything like that. Like, it worked for me in the first one. In this one, Amber Heard did a great job in that nothing role she was given. I hated the fact that they, and again, maybe this goes back to Aaron hates all the love interests, but she had no, there was no reason for her to be there. There was no reason at all for her to be on screen at any point except maybe the very end scene. But honestly, it would have been just as fine if they had just gotten some rando out of the audience, like they did for all the other dances.
Yeah. No, I don't think this is an Amber hates all female characters.
Am I Amber now?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
It's Amber.
This is Amber.
Sorry. This is not a case of Aaron hates all female characters. I have a note that said, I was referring to their beach dialogue, which could have been written cool and like had fun banter or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead, some of these scenes feel like they're improvised poorly. Like it sort of felt like they, like Channing Tatum, they were like, be charming. And he was like, okay.
Now see, I got the feeling that some of his lines, like the magic mic spin around, felt improvised in a way that really worked.
No, I really feel like they gave him a lot of space to ad lib, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it did not work. And in his scenes with her on the beach, it didn't work.
It didn't work. And it wasn't his fault. It was the whole what I have written in is that I didn't need him to have a rebound relationship. Right. I wanted this to be a movie about him hanging out with his buds.
I was hopeful. And in fact, this is how much of a nothing romance it was. I kept being like, I love this because there's no like love interest.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of the movie thinking that. And then they got to
Andy McDowell's house.
And I was like, oh, wait. Oh, right. There is a love interest. But like they could have just been buds. Yeah. That would have been swell. If he had just given good advice to Amber Heard and then like whatever.
Well, and they kind of ended it on that note. Like they could, I mean, in theory, it didn't have to have. I mean, I'm assuming that they intended that to be a love interest.
Although maybe not.
Maybe not. I mean, they could have just because she. I don't think we ever saw them kiss.
He was just trying to make her smile.
He was trying to make her smile. So he pulled her up on stage and humped her face a bunch.
We need to talk about that a little bit. The dancing, like some of the dancing was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
I got so excited when I saw Twitch.
Yeah. I understand that now.
He was my favorite. And he's so hot. He's such a good dancer.
He was very, very good.
Anybody listening, if you did not watch season 4 of So You Think You Can Dance, Twitch was the runner-up, who I think should have won, but he's managed to like make a career for himself without the automatic role in... I think one of the prizes of that season was a role in Step Up 3D, I believe. Okay. May have been Step Up 2. I can't remember. Adam Shankman directed a whole bunch of Step Up movies, and there was like... So You Think You Can Dance had a whole bunch of Step Up stuff as prizes.
Wasn't Channing Tatum in the first Step Up movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
And that was his like, hey, here's Channing Tatum.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the guy who won, Joshua, automatically got a part in Step Up. I think it was Step Up 2.
The Streets?
Step Up to the Streets?
Yeah.
I think so. It may have been Step Up 3D though, but I'm pretty sure it was Step Up 2. But Twitch ended up getting cast in, my understanding, is a bigger role.
Oh, nice.
Even though he wasn't, like, he auditioned and got a bigger role than he would have gotten otherwise. I could be wrong about that, but that's my understanding. I have not seen the movie.
Interesting.
But
okay.
I love him so much. And he's come back to So You Think You Can Dance a bunch as, like, an all-star. And just every time I see him, he is just such a damn delight.
Yeah.
There was a dance he did with one of the other top four to Duffy's song Mercy, which I got very excited at the end of Magic Mike when I saw like the doorway thing and the chair set up, because that song or that dance from So You Think You Can Dance starts out with them on opposite sides of a door.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, are they going to do Mercy? And they super didn't.
Right.
And it was fine. I forgive them. He did another one with Ellen. Like, she came on as a guest judge and they taught her one of the dances and it was really good. And if you can find it on YouTube, it's really good.
Huh.
It's really good. I'm trying to remember.
Well, we'll post those in the show.
Yeah.
When we post the show, we'll post those in comments.
They had done...
If we can find them.
It was Twitch and somebody else had done this routine. And I think the other guy ended up getting injured before they were supposed to perform at another time. And so they brought Ellen in and taught her that dude's part. It was really funny.
And did she do okay?
She did fine. She did better than I could have. I mean, you know, she's up there on stage with Twitch, who is an excellent hip-hop dancer.
Right.
So yeah. she did better than I would have expected.
Fair.
Given that she probably also didn't have much time to learn the routine.
Yeah.
But this is not a So You Think You Can Dance podcast. I just super love Twitch. And also Matt Bomer.
Right.
His character sucked, but he's just a very, very, very pretty man.
So in another movie, he would have... My prediction was Bomer is going to be insecure and do something villainous. And they didn't have that happen.
No.
They had them have a conversation and bury the hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was incredibly mature and really, really cool to have done.
Yeah.
They were like, man, I'm mad at you for this. Okay, well, let's talk about it. And then they did.
And see, all of this is stuff. So I had a, for our listeners, the reason we had a late episode last week is because we could not record this episode when we were supposed to last week because I had a wicked migraine and spent the afternoon at urgent care getting drugs that didn't help.
Right.
But I came home hoping that the drugs would eventually help, so I went ahead and watched the movie. So I didn't pick up on, I think, a lot of this nuance that Kate and Jeremy and you are talking about.
Mm.
Because Kate? I was...
Kate Leth, right.
Because I was just, yeah, you know, our very good friend Kate Leth, whom we call by her first name only because she's our very good friend.
Uh-huh.
I was watching this and my brain just wasn't working
right.
the way it should have.
Right.
Because I frankly didn't super love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like I shouldn't have returned it to the library. Like, I should go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
After having had this conversation. Like, yeah. It was fine, but it was what I expected the first one to be. I expected it to be just kind of like, you know, pretty boys without shirts on goofing around and dancing.
Right.
But it sounds like there's a lot more to it that I didn't think about.
And I'm coming to this without having seen the first one, so maybe there was some... Maybe the first one was equally as... I guess progressive is the word I'm looking for. Like, there was... Like, I guess, you know, shout out to Subverted Tropes. Like, subverting some of these tropes of these movies.
Yeah.
It felt to me... Maybe... And what I'm about to say may be the Rosetta Stone into why I liked it so much.
Okay.
It reminded me a lot of Pitch Perfect.
Okay, I can see that.
And talking to you tonight, I realized that it's like if Pitch Perfect and Crossroads had a baby.
Yeah.
Right?
It's making me like it a whole lot more.
Like, it's a road trip movie that isn't really a road trip movie, but has a lot of elements of a road trip movie.
Right.
It has a lot of drama in it and some great performances and is a lot deeper than you'd think it should be.
Right.
Which is a lot deeper than you think it should be is Pitch Perfect... Like, my tagline for why I like it is...
Right.
You can just do a deep dive on thinking about any aspect of Pitch Perfect, and then people walk away from you while you're talking? I'm not really sure.
I have a question for you. If we're done talking about Pitch Perfect.
The Tampa boys are the Bellas, and
yes.
Jada Pinkett Smith's crew are the Trebles.
Yes.
That's it.
Were you horribly uncomfortable the entire time they were in Andy McDowell's house? Because I was horribly uncomfortable the entire time they were in Andy McDowell's house.
I started off that way. Then it ebbed a little bit, and I was like, okay, this is okay.
Uh-huh.
Then the daughters came in, or the daughter and her friends came in.
Right.
And then my uncomfortability ratcheted up.
Okay.
Then that seemed okay, and it went back down. It was sort of an ebb and flow sort of situation.
Like, I got uncomfortable when Matt Bomer was singing. Not because of him, but I was like, stop singing to this one. Like, I see where they were going with it.
Yeah.
They were going for all of these women who you think are going to be kind of creepy about it, but then they ended up actually being, like, nice women.
Yeah.
Who were a little creepy about it, but the dudes were into them. Being into the women objectifying them.
Right.
So it was fine.
Yeah.
But it ended up being this weird scene where, like, these hot stripper dudes are telling these middle-aged, or I guess past middle-aged
Yeah, like 50s.
Like just past, yeah. I guess, what you would consider middle-aged
yeah.
women, why their husbands should appreciate them more?
It felt very... What's... Now, Mary Sue is when the author places themselves mm-hmm. into the thing.
Yeah.
What's it when the author places who you're supposed to be as the reader into the thing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess an audience surrogate is a less cool thing.
But I like, want to be like we, the audience, were supposed to be putting ourselves in the shoes of those women.
Right.
Feeling like, you know, oh, these hot men
right.
are telling me that I'm a goddess.
Right.
No, it made me really, really uncomfortable.
It felt
I'm like, Matt Bomer, you don't know that woman.
Yeah.
You don't know that woman's husband.
It felt unsubtle and it felt weird. It felt more subtle than how they did it in Bad Moms, which felt like if there was a movie just about the characters of Andie MacDowell and her friends
yeah.
in a movie.
Yeah.
And Bad Moms was not aimed at me, and that is totally fine.
I enjoyed Bad Moms. There were a lot of things I didn't love about it. But overall, there was a lot where I was like, yeah.
Right.
I think part of it for me is that, honestly, the scenes in that house between Channing Tatum and Amber Heard were so adorable.
Right.
Their chemistry was good.
Yeah.
The dialogue was good.
Yeah, this redeemed the beach scene.
Right. And so those were so good that every time it cut away from the two of them and went back to the living room, I'm like, oh, God, no, just take me to where Channing Tatum and Amber Heard are adorable together. But, like, I wanted them to be platonically adorable.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely, they should have been platonically adorable.
You know, I'm gonna again, reconfigure my headcanon, and it was all totally platonic.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you can reference the source on that. I think that's justifiable.
Yeah. It makes me not dislike the existence of her character so much because it doesn't feel like her character was forced into the plot.
Right. Right. He's correct about Oreos versus Red Velvet.
Yeah. I went through a phase where our wedding cake was Red Velvet. I went through a phase where I was like obsessed with Red Velvet.
Yeah.
It was just before everybody else,
uh-huh.
Not to sound hipster, but but no, like.
Just as a matter of, as it happened, you were into it and then you got out of it as everyone else was getting into it.
Yeah.
You're not being a hipster about it. It's just how the timeline went down.
Also, like, I feel like a lot of Red Velvet that I've seen on menus and in stores and stuff doesn't have the cream cheese frosting, which is key in making Red Velvet worthwhile.
Okay.
I will, however, say I probably still would take the Red Velvet cake over the Oreos.
Interesting. Does amount of stuffage matter in this equation?
Well, regular Oreos are completely useless and serve no purpose.
Fair.
Double stuff or nothing. Or apparently there's a mega stuff now.
Yeah.
And I need to try those, but I feel like my arteries would hate me if I did.
Have you tried the fireworks Oreos?
The Pop Rocks ones? Yeah. No.
They're weird.
Yeah, they seemed like they would be weird.
They're good. Like, if someone has them at a party, please partake of one.
I imagine that they just taste like regular Oreos, but they
and then
crackle
they pop
in your
mouth for a while after.
Yeah, see, I'd rather just have Oreos and also Pop Rocks, but separately.
When Channing Tatum said that God is a she, mm-hmm. I wrote that down because I like that. It's a very old school shorthand for look at how progressive this handsome, handsome man is.
Yeah.
Which again makes me feel like you're again supposed to feel like as a 50-year-old woman, like, oh my God, this guy, look at him. He's...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm down with it. And like, let's not get into this, but gender is not something you need to apply to God because God would be above gender and whatever. God
sure.
is everything. So whatever. But I think that it's funny. I think it's a funny unsubverted trope for him to say God is a she because it's a, like, yeah. Of course.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So the dance and strip scenes.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings on them. I found them. So I liked them in the first movie because they were mostly on stage. There was like some spectacle.
Sure.
It felt like this one, most of them occurred, with the exception of that one at the very, that show at the very end, they weren't on a stage. They were just occurring.
Right.
And like, I found them enjoyable to watch because the dancers were very good, but also a little boring and slow.
Okay.
Because they weren't like, they didn't feel like choreographed routines. Like the whole time they were in Jada Pinkett Smith's house.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is so boring. That may have also been the migraine meds talking a little bit, but
I was too busy trying to figure out what Michael Strahan's life is like.
Is he the guy who played Augustus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Gappy.
Is that it? Was Augustus? Yeah. Augustine.
I think it was Augustus.
Was it Augustus? Okay.
He
was totally Derek, by the way.
Yeah.
He was in a gold Speedo and he was totally doing it.
But like, can you imagine a scenario where 30 years ago Regis Philbin would have been in this movie?
No.
Like, that man hosts a Today Show.
Does he?
Yeah, Kelly and Mike. Mike, Kelly and Michael. Like, he replaced...
I've legitimately never seen or heard of this man before this movie.
He was a football player.
Okay.
And then, you know, I think he hosts. He may have left. For a while there, he was hosting with Kelly Ripa.
Oh.
I think he still is, although now I feel like Ryan Seacrest is, but maybe he's filling in for Michael Strahan for whatever reason.
While Michael Strahan is busy making stripper movies?
I guess, but like...
Interesting.
I don't know, but yeah. So I was like, what is going... he's a morning show host, and also there's his Speedo.
Yep.
Like, anyways. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I didn't know what was going to happen. So, like, I was sort of like, okay, they're in this house. What is going on? Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So,
I saw on IMDb that apparently Jada Pinkett Smith's character was originally supposed to be played by Jamie Foxx.
Okay, that makes sense.
It does, but I wonder how much rewriting they did. I can't remember if he wasn't available, like, if he was the original concept and he wasn't available, or if they were originally going to do that, and then Channing Tatum was like, no, no, Jada Pinkett Smith. How much rewriting was done? Because there seemed to be, not that it, like, there seemed to be an implied relationship between Mike and, what was her name?
Rome. Right.
There seemed to be an implied sexual relationship between the two of them.
But also,
that there didn't, and I haven't seen anything in either of these two movies to indicate that Mike has ever been into guys.
Right.
So that kind of was like, well, if this role was originally meant for a man, did they add that element in after they recast it as a woman? Or was it always meant like this? Like, where did that come from? But then there was also the part where she and Elizabeth Banks.
Right. Petrovic connection.
Yes. Apparently, they had a kiss on screen that didn't make it into the movie, except I could definitely see where it was.
Yeah.
Where they were showing, like, one of the guys' faces.
Yeah.
And you could see the tops of their heads totally angled in a way where you're like, well, this is where the kiss was. I don't understand why they cut it.
I wonder if you read Rome's lines to Mike in a we're flirting as if we have a past sort of way.
That could be.
I wonder if they read differently if you read them differently. I know that doesn't make...
No, that makes sense.
Like, I wonder, because like...
Like, if like, how much of their implied relationship was in the way they physically interacted,
right,
that would have been directed differently,
right,
had Jamie Foxx played that role.
I thought, I preferred Jada Pinkett Smith for a number of reasons.
I thought she was great.
Yeah.
She was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have one more note.
Okay.
The name of their act was Resurrection.
Okay.
Res Erection is one of the best stripper group names of a returning act of all time.
Was it Res Erection or was it,
Resurrection? It wasn't written anywhere, but the way Jada Pinkett Smith said it, or whoever said it, it had to have been Res Erection. And I think that is so funny and so clever. I'm mad that it's not something that I thought of.
Yeah. It's very, very good. I had not put those things together.
Yeah.
The final acts overall I thought were kind of lackluster.
I thought that the mirror concept was done super, super well.
Okay. So the final acts, I didn't love Tarzan's.
I loved Tarzan as a character, but I thought that they gave him the shaft on his final performance. I would have liked to have seen something else. The big, huge shaft.
Sorry, guys, I'm 12.
We're not talking about Richie, though. Big, huge shaft.
Oh, right. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, I liked Tarzan as a character. I don't find him particularly attractive. Like,
he's a former professional wrestler.
I'm not into that body type. I'm not into mullets. Like, he had a lot going on that just isn't for me.
Yeah.
But I thought that what he did in that final scene, they didn't give him much to do. Like, he had the shortest act.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of lame for him.
Yeah.
I didn't love Richie's.
I mean, the guy looks good in a tux, but otherwise.
I mean, I don't mind seeing Joe Manganiello on screen in whatever.
Right.
Or whatever not.
Exactly. Right. Same.
But the act itself didn't thrill me. Matt Bomer's act didn't thrill me. Like, I know that he was like a musician or whatever, but I could have done without him singing. His singing is fine.
Yeah.
But it just, again, it felt kind of like weird and forced. Tito's whipped cream bonanza didn't work for me. Yeah. The only one that did was Mike's routine.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that they partnered him with Malik.
Right.
Played by Twitch.
Right.
Who was not really a major character. He was one of Jada Pinkett Smith's boys.
Right.
Hardly had any lines. Didn't have a ton of screen time.
Right.
Except for this scene where you just got to watch him dance and mirror Channing Tatum. And the two of them, I wish that the camera had just pulled back and just let us witness the entire thing from a bit afar.
Yeah.
So that we could see both of them at the same time, because they are both such talented dancers.
No, for real. Yeah, definitely. I also really like Channing. Was the pony thing a callback to the first movie?
The pony thing.
When he danced to Genuine's pony?
I think it must have been. Okay. I don't know the song. And again, I saw the movie in theaters. It came out quite a while ago.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah.
I listened to a Mabim Bam Max Fun bonus content thing from 2013.
Uh-huh.
Where Travis was super into the Johnny Depp movie, something that I'm not thinking of, McIlroy or something. No, that's okay. Their last name. Anyways, but Justin was super into Pony.
Okay.
And there's actually a video of them performing, like listening to Pony before a show, as a bonus.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen that video. Yeah. They're like in their hotel room. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't recognize the song, but.
Okay. But I really liked watching Channing Tatum do that too.
Yeah.
Watching Channing Tatum dance was pretty great.
Yeah.
When I'm picturing him in my head right now, I keep picturing John Cena.
Okay.
And I don't think that's entirely wrong, but it's also super wrong because John Cena is like more stocky and
he's got
lower.
A pro wrestler's build.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum's got a
dancer's
male stripper's build.
Right, exactly.
Like he's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Shall we rank them?
Yes. Let's rank them.
Let's rank them.
So my rankings, I almost did a top five of acting and a top five of dancing.
I did that.
I didn't do that.
Well, no, it wasn't that. I did a top five of character and a top five of actor.
Okay.
Top five of character and top five of prettiness of actor.
I almost did that and then I didn't. I wish we'd talked more about it because, okay.
I should have told you I was doing it.
So mine.
But you told me I couldn't do any repeats and you told me I couldn't just put Matt Bomer's name on five times.
Right.
So I was like, well, he might tell me he doesn't want me to do this other list too. So I'm just not going to tell him.
So my top five is a conglomeration of both of those things. How much did I like their dancing? How pretty are they? How much did I like their character? And how well did they act their character?
Sure.
Those are what four went into mine.
Okay.
May I read
please,
all? Shall I do all five or should we do?
Yeah, go ahead and do all five and then I'll do mine.
Number five was Donald Glover.
Okay.
I love Donald Glover as a person and you will too once you watch Community because he's great on Community.
Okay.
I like him as a musician. I thought his character was really cool. I liked what he did in terms of like interacting with the audience and also has a surprisingly pretty great body. Like,
yeah.
I was like, all right, Donald Glover, looking good. Because I'm used to seeing him in like a t-shirt and jeans. So like, yeah. So that was Donald Glover. Number four was Tito.
Okay.
I really liked his character. I really liked the whole really passionate about yogurt.
Okay.
Aspect. I think he's a very handsome man, and I liked all of the dancing I saw him do with the exception of the last, the final battle. The final dance.
The whipped cream bonanza.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he would have been higher had the whipped cream aspect of the whipped cream bonanza not been there.
Sure.
It was just a weird, like, all right, who's ready to get wet?
Yeah.
Sort of situation. And of course, the women were like, me.
Yeah.
Too late. Okay, so number three. Oh, number three was Joe Manganiello.
Okay.
I think he's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that scene with the Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a very nice body.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the plot. I weirdly liked the plot about him never being able to find a woman that could be with him because of the size of his penis.
Uh-huh.
It's such a porn plot, but it was done so sensitively.
Yeah.
Like, it was done really like, oh man, I'm really, like, they all took it so
seriously. They were all so sweet about it. I loved it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you guys, I want to hang out with you for so many reasons.
Like, it's like, you want to hang out. You hang out and I'll be there too.
I mean, yeah.
It was weird. Like, I really liked him from How I Met Your Mother. And
remind me who he was.
He was the guy that went to brunch with Marshall.
Right. He was brunch guy.
Right. Brunch bros.
Brunch bros.
I just really like him. And I thought he was really good. But Twitch gets the number two spot just because of the absolute skill of his dancing. Mm-hmm. I actually moved Twitch up from four. Tito went down for the whipped cream. Joe Manganiello went down and Twitch went up for skill of dancing and just like, mm-hmm. The crowd parted at Jada Pinkett Smith's house,
mm-hmm.
and like he was dancing, I was like, I can't stop watching this guy. Amazing. What is happening? Like, it was really, really
good. Look
him
up. Like, look up so you think you can dance stuff on YouTube. He's just so good.
Yeah. He was really good. And then Channing Tatum wins number one because he's the main character, so they gave him a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's charming. He's good looking. He's a good dancer. And I really liked his character and how he executed the character. There was almost no part where I was watching it and I was like, boy, I wish they'd cut to someone else other than Magic Mike, because it was pretty great every time he was on. Like, one of the best parts about that Joe Manganiello dancing scene was how, and I know they were on Molly, which changes it a little bit,
right?
But how stoked they were in the window.
Yes, they were so happy for him.
So, yeah, Channing Tatum wins number one.
I loved the way he ended with, how much for the Cheetos and water? Like, it was so good.
And then the next scene, they were eating Cheetos.
I know. He just bought a whole bunch of Cheetos.
He did.
I loved it.
All right. Well, those are my rankings.
Okay. So, I'm going to do my list in my two lists in tandem.
Okay.
So, number five for, like, overall, how much was I attracted to the pretty, pretty man on screen?
Okay.
Number five, I have Channing Tatum.
Okay.
He's not my physical type.
Okay.
There's something about his face that just isn't, he's like, maybe he's too squinty or something. Like, I just didn't think he was the prettiest of them.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, he's a good looking dude. And honestly, watching him dance and act does make him infinitely more attractive. But if I am just looking at a still shot of him,
yeah,
he's fine.
He wears a backwards hat very well.
He does wear a backwards hat very well.
And I hope that you
like,
all...
way better than any person has a right to wear a backwards hat.
I was trying to take a picture of myself in a similarly styled backwards hat.
I noticed that.
I put the hat brim on the wrong side.
Okay.
So I apologize for that. And my hat brim wasn't bent up like his.
Sure.
Because I've used it as like a baseball hat, so it's curved down as opposed to bent up like a duckbill.
Right.
Which I guess makes it easier to grab and flip.
Maybe.
Because his hat was a prop, which was really cool too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, he wears a hat very, very well.
Yeah. My number five for the attractiveness of the character was Ken.
Okay.
Matt Bomer.
Right.
Just because, like, he was kind of just there and a little annoying and...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have to factor in the attractiveness of the actor.
Sure.
Because that is a part of the character.
Of course.
But he was not my favorite.
it felt like he was almost playing a parody of him. Like sometimes he'd say lines and I'm like, is that really what he's, the line is that they've written for him?
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it.
Number four, I have Joe Manganiello.
Okay. For attractive man.
For attractive man.
Okay.
Which I'm surprised he ended up as far down on the list as he did.
Yeah.
But I looked at a lot of pictures of these dudes and yeah, that's where I have to put him. Number four for character, I have to put Malik.
Okay.
Just because I have to factor in the hotness that is Twitch.
Sure.
And the dancing ability, but the character was kind of non-existent.
Yeah.
Which is better than Ken. I'd rather have a guy who doesn't exist than a whiny guy.
Fair point.
But
fair point.
Number four, I have Donald Glover.
Okay.
Who I was vaguely aware of,
yeah,
but couldn't have picked him out of a lineup.
Yeah.
He is a good looking dude.
He is a very good looking
dude. He is a very good looking dude, but in a way that feels very accessible.
Yeah.
And then number three for character was Richie.
Wait. Four for Hot Man was Bomer. Four for...
No. So number five was Channing and Ken.
Okay.
Number four was Joe and Malik.
Okay, all right.
Number three was Donald and Richie.
Okay, got it. I'm back on.
I thought Richie was adorable.
He really was.
Like, he loves the Backstreet Boys. I could not put him on the list.
Do you want to be a firefighter? No, I don't want to be a firefighter.
Yeah, exactly. Number two for actor, I have Twitch.
Uh-huh.
Just, he has a very special place in my heart, and I love him so much.
Of course.
And then number two for character was Donald Glover's character, Andre.
Right. Okay.
He was more of a character than Malik. We didn't see as much of him as we did of any of the Tampa boys.
Yeah.
But he was, I liked him.
Yeah.
He was fun.
I liked the conversation where Ken and Andre were in the car.
Yeah.
Talking music.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just sweet.
Yeah.
I liked him. Number one most attractive man in the group is Matt Bomer.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like the big muscles, so I like that he had more of like a less bulky build.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And his face is very, very pretty.
He is a very, very
pretty
guy. He is
a very
guy. I will absolutely
pretty person.
I like him. He was on White Collar.
Oh, was he?
White Collar was what...
Is that what you know him from?
Yes, only because of previews that I saw on Psych.
Okay.
He wears a suit and a hat real nice.
He was in American Horror Story, and I can't remember who he played.
I think, was he in Hotel?
He was in Hotel. I think he was in Freak Show too, but I can't remember.
Yeah. I never watched either of those. Sometimes I forget Hotel happened.
I only watched part of Hotel. I watched a few episodes of Hotel, and I was like, okay, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And then my final for... my number one character is, of course, Magic Mike.
Of course. Magic Mike.
He was just so just adorable and sweet and like good-hearted and earnest. And he was just such a good guy.
Well, Tarzan was more earnest.
That was his actual name. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's an inside Magic Mike XXL joke.
Sure is.
If I had one complaint about Magic Mike, it was about his character. It was that sometimes he was, like, making fun, and sometimes he was super, super serious. And, like,
sure. You
didn't believe... I didn't believe him either time, and that made the whole thing more believable. Like,
okay.
I didn't believe that he was, like, this is so lame. But I also didn't believe, like, man, we gotta... Like, I was so actually really happy that they... I wonder how soon they the idea of them being high on drugs when they were having that very serious conversation about their careers happened.
Because
it tempered it into a place where it wasn't ridiculous to have them, like, I don't know.
When he did his whole pep talk at the end and he was like, and I'm not going to give you a stupid pep talk that I just gave you. I loved it.
Yeah. All right. So I think we should wrap up.
Yeah. Overall, honestly, I like the movie more now having had this conversation and having kind of adjusted some of my perceptions of largely the relationship between Mike and, I don't remember her name, Amber Heard's character. I'm sure she
Zoe.
Had a name.
It was
Zoe.
Zoe. Yeah.
Zoe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her. I liked Amber Heard. I don't think I've seen her in anything before.
I didn't realize that she was like a big deal.
Yeah, me either. I knew her name only from the allegations against Johnny Depp.
Yeah, which is weird Like, I mean, like, it's weird that we live in a world where that is a thing, where it's right. like, oh yeah, I know you from the allegations you made against the famous actor.
Right.
And then
I didn't know that his wife was an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was, I mean, she was good. She felt a little out of place. Like, I felt like, why did they write Daria into this movie?
Yes. Because they needed somebody who had to find her smile.
Right. And they weirdly, it weirdly never came off as, come on, beautiful, just smile.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah. It came off more as like, it wasn't like a, you'd be prettier if you smiled.
Right.
It was much more like a, it, like, you know, it makes me unhappy to see you unhappy. Yeah. Like, you seem, it was never like a, you're a beautiful girl, I wish I could see you smile. It was more like a, you seem like a cool person.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it makes me sad that you're not in a good place right now.
Yeah.
Let me hump your face and make that better. Did you want to come back to the face humping? Because you said you did.
Like, they were throwing around those women like puppets. And I guess that's something that some people want. But like, Kristen was saying, like, she was talking to her friends after the movie. And like, she's like, you have to know
what's coming.
What's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to be able to anticipate to help someone do that to
you. I was thinking the same thing while I was watching it. Like, this is all well and good, but if these are actually women that you just pull out of the audience and have not rehearsed this with, they are not going to know that they need to clasp their hands around your neck right now because you're about to pick them up by their knees.
Right.
Or, like, they're just going to be sitting there, and then all of a sudden they're going to be picked up by their knees and they're going to fall over backwards.
Right.
Like... Yeah.
Which, and of course, it all feeds into a fantasy of what if you were the audience, in that, right, what if right. you were the girl, whatever. Then sure. That's fine.
It's fine.
It was, I really enjoyed the movie. I mean,
now
like.
Now I want to make you watch the first one to see if you like the first one.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd be into watching the first one.
It was not, I went into the theater expecting a silly girls' night with some drinks and my friends.
Yeah.
And I walked out and we were all like, that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Like a surprisingly good movie with plot.
Yeah.
That wasn't just, hey, look at my abs.
Right.
I mean, it had a healthy dose of that. Yeah. The only thing wrong with that movie was Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
Just because.
Would you say that's your favorite Matthew McConaughey movie though?
I would say, well, see, I haven't seen enough Matthew McConaughey movies. I don't know, that the John Grisham one he did was really good.
The Client.
No. It was the one.
Not The Firm. That was Tom Cruise.
No, it was the one. I think Sandra Bullock was in it too.
Yeah, not The Pelican Brief. That was Julia Roberts. It was something else. The Client. The.
A Time to Kill.
Yes, The Time to Kill.
He was very good in that. Honestly, I think I like young Matthew McConaughey before he got skeevy.
Right.
Like when he was a little fresh-faced and corn-fed.
Yeah.
And not just...
Right.
Like, didn't just make me feel like I was going to get some kind of disease looking at him.
Like, he had some, like, baby cheeks going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's
do social media and call it.
Yes. If you would like to join our Facebook group where... Things like this episode sometimes get spawned. Like, sometimes we've definitely come up with episodes in the Facebook group just in discussions.
Yep. And also where so many YouTube links to Twitch dancing are going to be posted later this week.
Yeah, definitely. You should join it. And it is Unabashedly Obsessed with Unabashedly Obsessed. Join it. We've surpassed 69 members. We had 68, and then we got like... I sent out a call for like one more person to join and like five people joined.
Like five, yeah.
Which, thank you. And, and awesome.
Which is great. We had 69 members for about 4 seconds.
Yeah. We definitely approved two
but
at once.
You know, sometimes 4 seconds is all you need for a 69.
Sometimes.
You're the one who wanted to do this movie.
Wait, what?
You wanted to do the stripper movie and it put me in a headspace.
Okay, fair. Okay, I'll take the
blame
for that.
You're the one who asked me if a sex swing is comfortable, so I feel like you kind of opened the door there.
I very gently eased into a question about if anyone in the room would happen to know if a sex swing is comfortable.
Doozer, what are your thoughts on sex swings? Are they comfortable? He just perked his ears up. You're so handsome.
A a sex swing would make it difficult to do it doggy style.
I mean, probably. I don't know, though. I think some of them are just like straps that you hang in, and then there are ones. This one was more of like a hammocky type chair thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
If they'd put even like a chair under her, like a papasan sort of situation.
Well, I mean, like she was fully supported.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
She was mostly supported.
Yeah. We also have a Twitter.
At UFO Podcast, you decide what the F stands for. Tonight, the F stands for firefighters.
Firefighters. Yeah, there you go. We are individually on Twitter. I am at unabashed James.
I'm at unabashedly Aaron.
You can email us at unabashedlyobsessed@gmail.com or visit our merch store at
cafepress.com/unabashedlyobsessed. We also have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/unabashedlyobsessed if you would like to help financially support the show.
I think that we actually weirdly haven't recorded since I made a change to the $10 tier.
Oh, that's right.
So the $10 tier is you get to pick a thing for us to partake of and make an episode about. We've done two episodes. The episode about the Lost Room was one we did for Amity, who was our first $10 member. And then the autopsy of Jane Doe was one we did for Oshkan, who was our second $10 member.
Hi, Amity and Oshkan.
Hi, Amity and Oshkan. So the change is that now we're going to take notes while we partake of the movie or TV show or book or whatever you suggest. And we'll publish those at the $10 level. So you'll be able to read our notes for those things, as well as if there is an outtake that Aaron puts in the outtake folder from the episode about the thing, she'll also post it at the $10 level first. So you'll hear that outtake.
When we take it out, when I take it out of that episode, it will go up on the Patreon for $10 patrons to listen to. Yeah. And then at a much later date, it will go into the outtakes episode.
Right. So those are the change. They're sort of little changes, but we wanted to give something more to the $10 members. So there you go.
Yep.
And of course, that happens yearly. So next year, assuming Amity and Oshkan are still $10 members, they'll pick new things for us to do, and we will do it up good.
Yep.
We are in the middle of participating in Two Pods a Day, which is a campaign across various social media. There's a Twitter handle at Two Pods a Day and a hashtag Two Pods a Day. It's basically a cavalcade of indie podcasts, two of them per day. It's really cool, like, focus on these podcasts, because it talks about, like, what the podcast is about will be one tweet. Then it'll be like, here's this podcast and what an episode is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third tweet will be someone from the campaign, like, we wrote reviews about some episodes that we listened to.
Yep.
Someone else that you've seen featured on the campaign talking about what they thought about that podcast. It's really, really cool and a really great way to get to know some indie podcasts.
Yeah, and as of the time of this recording, which is the middle of July,
yes,
we haven't had our episode featured yet, but we still have 2 weeks and I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get some new listeners. And if you are joining us because you like Pet Sematary and saw us on via Two Pods a Day, welcome.
Yes.
And if you haven't, then you should go check out the Two Pods a Day Twitter account. And they also have a Facebook group, too?
I think it's a group, yeah.
Yeah, that you can join for all sorts of good social media stuff on there, too.
Yep.
We'd like to thank Jamie Shaheen for our theme song. Did you guys know there was a ladder down here? You can find Jamie's band A Silent Few on YouTube.
Thank you also to Emily Cardamus for her excellent logo art. You can find Emily on Twitter at Corrupted Gem.
I think that's going to do it.
I think so.
Aaron, thank you for watching this stripper movie with me.
You're welcome. Thank you for suggesting that I look at really attractive men dancing for 2 hours.
Anytime. This has been a very revealing episode of Unabashedly Obsessed.
See what you did there.
I'm James.
I'm Aaron.
Smoking kills.
And so do pennies. Would you bounce off of all of your abs?
Ding.